Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio in, no, not in studio. Let me look. Nope. On the phone with me is Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I had a revelation about myself, though.
You did?
Yeah. So three episodes back, three quarters of the way through the episode, I spilt my travel mug full of tea on my desk and picked it up before it all spilt. But there was it's about a square foot of total spillage space, and I thought I was just going to leave it there and ignore it through the recording session here. And I found out that it was bothering me after midway through last episode. And I didn't know that was a thing that would bother me. It was just wet. It wasn't messing with anything. And so while we were recording last episode, I stood up and I adjusted my mic because I got, you know, the mic-y thing I have, and took off my sweatshirt and sopped up the tea puddle with my sweatshirt.
What happens when Tasha's not in the studio?
Well, yeah, Tasha would have cleaned up. Partly I did it because it was bugging me. Partly I did it because I think that Tasha would want it cleaned up quicker than I would, and partly because I thought I'd forget about it after we were done. But now, in the ongoing tea spillage saga, I'm a little bit chilly.
Because
partly I don't have my sweatshirt, and the other part is that I lost part of my nice warm morning beverage. So, you know, podcast listeners, you think it's easy to slap together podcasts, but this is we're in the podcast minds working real hard at this. So the
moral of the story is that I asked the studio so the three of us could be in studio again because Tasha would have already ran out of the room for a towel as your tea mug was spilling.
As it was
falling, she would have already had a towel to clean it up. And the minute that she had seen if you had to use your sweatshirt, she would have already gone and got you one. And that is a loving nod to Mama Duck Tasha, who has a sense not only of hospitality, but foresight. I tell you, the woman is a master of anticipatory need meeting. She is the master of that.
I got another story about that. The other day, I go to take a shower, right? And, you know, we've got a couple bathrooms in the house.
It was Wednesday.
And, yeah, it's a rare thing. But, no, I realized the shower I've been using, I was going to need a fresh bar of soap in there because it's down to the sliver. I'm okay with that, but like when it gets down to the micro sliver, yeah. And so I need to get a bar of soap. And so I go to the other bathroom where the soap backstock is, go to the soap warehouse, and I get a bar of soap and I bring it to the shower I'm using. And, there's already a bar of soap sitting there on the kitchen counter. Now Tasha doesn't use the shower, and I didn't even think she went into that bathroom too much. But apparently she's walking by and realized that I'm just too well taken. I couldn't survive in the world without her. Love you, babe. You're probably not listening. So what's this episode about? We're 5 minutes in already.
I have no idea. Just take a shower.
And we did a whole episode of My Pillow that lots of people have listened to. So we have to update that pretty soon. We were going to talk about provocations. Well, I think this is it's kind of a buzzword. Provocation. What kind of provocations would you set up for the kids? So Lisa Murphy, talk for 20 minutes about provocations.
Me? Why, you're going to go get a sweatshirt?
I got to go get a sweatshirt. I got to get a sweatshirt and make some tea.
Okay, so when I first, and for the record, I don't have like a prepared response here. But the first time I came across the concept of a provocation was at one of the first Reggio-inspired workshops that I attended way back in the day. I mean, like, I'm thinking, shoot. I mean, I was still at, like, my
You're a zygote.
School. No. Well, I was a zygote. No, like, it was back when I was with Miss Cindy. So, I don't know. So, anyway, it doesn't matter. But the idea was presented initially to me as something intriguing to get, and this is probably not a textbookly accurate definition, but it's my understanding is that it's something designed to intentionally get the kids' attention to come explore something, or, you know, so a provocation, maybe it's better, like an example, that there's a basket of the huge pine cones that I found on my hike over the weekend, not necessarily linked to any kind of lesson other than I found some really cool shit and, you know, I'll put it out and see where this might go, is my understanding of a provocation. Yet it's intentional in being placed. That's my understanding of a provocation.
So
something that is going to provoke the children, to use the word within its own definition, to come over and potentially, you know, explore it and see where it goes. So I have two things with this. I don't like to call them issues because I don't want it to sound like I'm picking this apart or have some kind of an agenda in regard to provocations.
We're going to pick it apart. We don't have an agenda, but we are going to pick it apart.
Well, sure. And I'm kind of neutral to the concept. Where the hair on the back of my neck stands up is when it is a veiled disguise of an adult's agenda.
Yeah.
You know, like it was pee week for pine cones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's thinly veiled, and it might be then sliding into the room under the umbrella of a supposed provocation, when really in fact if we pushed a little bit, it really had nothing to do with an honest provocation, potentially based on an observation I had of some play or some conversation that I might have overheard in the classroom. If I was to have an issue with it, that's it. Is that sometimes it's, you know, it's hiding the medicine in the jelly.
Jelly medicine.
That
sounds delicious.
You know what I mean when you hide the pill.
Intolerable. That ulterior motive thing.
Yes.
And so bringing interesting things into the environment because kids might be interested in them is one thing. Trying to push your agenda because you've got standards to meet and you gotta keep the kids learning, and it's pee week, and so we need the pine cones or the porpoise pus or whatever it is.
Porpoise pus. And I would even push back. We seem to be on a pee theme here. I would push back because my experience has been that often it's not even the practitioners. Look where we're going with this. It's not even the practitioners, but somebody on another level higher up went to some kind of a seminar and came back with this new thing. And now everybody is going to start putting provocations in the classroom, and nobody really has a really authentic handle on what that really might look like. But now I got to do this thing called provocations because, you know, somebody went to a seminar and, you know, so it means I got to put like novel shit out on the little table and, you know, hope that somebody comes over and I think that's inherent in all pre-existing philosophies that are potentially had somebody's name attached to them. You know, like all of a sudden starting to put out provocations in your classroom doesn't all of a sudden make you a Reggio inspired program. And that's another one of my issues with any theory like that, is that, you know, all of a sudden we've ticked the box. Now we've got four things that Reggio inspired classrooms do. And so now I can say, yes, we are Reggio inspired, when really, you know, if you dig a little deeper, nobody really there's no depth. There's a lot of breadth, but no depth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or lack of understanding.
No.
Again, you said in the last episode, I'm painting that broad brush. I am not in any way implying that it's bad to be inspired by Reggio. I am saying that if your program is going to start claiming that, you need to go deeper than just the superficial trappings that the catalogs are now, you know, pushing down everybody's throat. You don't become this because you bought something.
Yeah. 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 You got it. The whole idea of provocations play on the fact that the human brain is real interested in novelty. We're kind of wired to pay attention to novel things in our environment. The squirrel or bright, shiny objects, that kind of stuff. And so putting these things into the environment is really a way to grab attention and maybe spark curiosity in
sure.
some situations. A phrase that I've used in books, and I co-authored Danita Dinger, former podcast host with us. I think she came up with the term. I hadn't heard anybody else use it before, but the whole idea of plopping into the environment. I mean, plopping is really a provocation. It's putting something into in the environment without any expectations. I mean, maybe the kids are going to be interested in this thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're not. And being fine with they're not. I think when we
being open to wherever it might go.
Exactly.
Right?
Because go ahead.
That could be a springboard. Well, putting something out, even just the pine cones, just to keep on that example. That could go off on an entirely different direction. And so if in my adult brain I needed it to somehow stay within the category of nature or pine cones or the environment or a forest, if I needed it to stay there, I've already put a ceiling on the provocation. And the whole point is that it could be a springboard to something. And just because I'm the adult doesn't mean that I know where something might go. And so whether it's a plop or a provocation, I mean, I think at its heart, it's a springboard to something. And let's see what happens.
Yeah. And when we come in with our own agenda of where it should go. We're putting these giant pine cones out here because it's pee week, and that's going to spark their interest in pine cones. And then we're going to talk about the reproductive systems of conifers. If you're going with that agenda, we're gonna make big bird feeders. We're gonna spread the peanut butter and seeds on them.
There'd be peanut butter in a classroom nowadays.
Well, I'm old, so yeah. Back in the day, what would it be? What do you think they spread on the pine cones now? Listeners, if you know this, please email me. It's got to be some soy based peanut nutter.
I don't gluten free. I think it's marshmallow fluff.
Is it? Huh, what about all the diabetic kids that are eating that and having their?
They're not eating it. The birds are eating it.
yeah, they don't taste it while they're spreading on those pine cones that are 4 foot across. read an article the other day about a apparent link between not necessarily diabetes, but blood sugar levels and Alzheimer's.
I don't think that's new.
No, there was just a new piece of research that better clarified that connection was a thing. So hey, if you're eating a lot of sugar, Alzheimer's might be in your future, I guess. But that's not what sort of medical podcast too, huh?
Yeah, sure, okay.
after the children's bar and grill show. So provocations.
Let's even go back to the last episode. I think if you're going to start claiming to be using provocations, or you're going to start, you know, you got to know what you mean by that.
Yeah.
What's your definition of a provocation? And the other thing I want to take a minute to remind our listeners, especially if you're new, is that I think when I push back and say that I would expect you to be able to, like, paint me a picture of what you mean by something, that is never in any way designed to have that person feel that they have to get on the defensive. It's more, does that make sense? Like, my staff used to tell me, they're like, you know, when you walk in and I first work here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to ask me. And it took them a while before they settled into the fact that I wasn't trying to trick them.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't trying to test them. My honest intention was that, you know, you're not always going to work for me. Like, I know what's going on in the classroom. I see it. I need to know that you can tell somebody who doesn't see it. And that's the intention behind my constant questioning, what do you mean by that? I want you to be able to develop the ability to talk about what's unfolding in front of you clearly and confidently, because at some point you're going to be that conduit for somebody who doesn't see it on their own. That's the Lisa Murphy intention behind always asking those questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Steps off.
So what do you mean by provocation? Did you just read it? Was it on a blog? Did you get a catalog? Did you read a book? And fine, if that's your starting spot, awesome. But please remember that if that's the starting spot, there's going to be some depth under that initial, like, ooh, this is pretty. Great. Let's go a little deeper than pretty.
And so how deep would you need something to be before you would plop into the classroom?
Well, but see, that's a tricky question.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm on a hiking trip. I'm hiking,
uh-huh.
And I'm in Northern California, and I'm working in Chicago, and inner city Chicago. And I kid you not, those pine cones
They're huge.
As a watermelon. I mean, they will hurt you. They fall on your head. They will knock you out.
It's like a pointy coconut falling on your head.
It is. And it hurts. And it has a smell. And they're beautiful. And they're sticky.
Yeah.
Like, all of the senses are activated. So my initial response is, I am working with kids in the downtown of Chicago. Chances are they've never seen one of these. They know that I'm gone doing a gig. I'm going to put some of these in my bag and bring these back and see how they receive them.
Uh-huh.
So that's my initial intention.
So
this is something unique and novel, right? It has nothing to do with Pee Week. It has nothing to do with Nature Week. It has nothing. I have no agenda other than, you know, this is something they've never experienced. Let me bring it in and see where it goes.
So the whole, I think items like that provoke a some version of the response of, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Are the kind of things that we should shoot for, and if we're not working with any agenda other than that, the kids might find this interesting. I think that's a decent starting place for using provocations.
And to even go back to what I just said, if something is pretty, something is beautiful, and if you're having that like response to that, like, wow.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that pretty is not deep enough. I'm not saying that at all. So let me clarify. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if all you've got is just somebody said I needed to start bringing some stuff in, that's what I want you to go deeper than.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a real simple thing, isn't it? I mean, really, at its base, it's a, hey, we're humans in the world, and there's this interesting thing, and I saw this interesting thing, and hey, I thought maybe you'd be interested in this interesting thing.
Right.
And it's really netted. And maybe you're not. And if you're not, that's okay. And I'm not going to, if you are interested, I'm not going to force you to come to Circle Time and talk about it for 20 minutes. We can have a conversation, but I've got no other agenda other than I'm sharing this interesting thing with you. I think the reason, part of the reason we're doing a podcast together today is that the day we met, there was a provocation in the room and I brought it to dinner with us.
I think about that more frequently than you realize. So tell the people what you mean.
Well, it was a dead baby squirrel in a jar. And
he brought to dinner.
Well, your sister hadn't seen it. I collect these things because I figure if I think this is interesting, somebody else might too. And so it's like it's back.
You gotta be Jeff's friend. How you respond to dead shit in a jar at dinner?
What about the one I texted you the picture of the other day?
Oh, about the possum.
No,
dog balls, dog testicles.
So the new puppy we adopted, it was time for him to get fixed, and we're at the vet's office, and I'm like, hey, can you save them, put them in a specimen jar for me? And the vet, he's kind of an older guy, and his son, who's the muscle that like lifts the dogs up on the thing and holds them while they're getting their injections, that kind of stuff. He's like, Pop, did you hear him? And I repeat myself, and he's like, he gets this curious. He's just a straightforward business kind of rural vet. He's just kind of a kind of gruff kind of guy, and he's like, what do you want him for? And I said, well, I don't know that really matters. I just want him, but what I really don't want him.
Beeswax.
Yeah, I told him I really don't want him, but my wife requested him. She wants to put him up on the mantle next to the jar she keeps mine in, and I've never heard this dude laugh before. And he cracks a smile and he chuckles and said, "Yeah, I can do that for you."
That's funny.
He's not in the office the next day when I go to pick up Zway, and his wife says, "I got a jar for you." Hands them to me. So I've got my puppy's testicles in a little green specimen jar that are going to be a great provocation next time I've got people over at the house.
I'm sure.
So any more provocation, plopping, or P-word talk?
Excuse me. Sorry, I had a cough. No.
So wrap up.
I've been... one of my favorite phrases in the Reggio canon, so to speak, is that you have to notice that they notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been wondering if there was going to be an organic opportunity for me to toss that out there during this, because I think by noticing that kids have noticed something might lead to the introduction of a provocation. You know what I'm saying? Like if you overheard something or you saw somebody interested in something could. So I think the common denominator with Lisa Murphy on this idea of a provocation is that there's intention behind the introduction of it.
So
I think that would be how I would summarize my 30-minute monologue here about this topic.
So what's that look like? You notice a child is interested in X.
The example, and I don't want to sound like a one-trick pony, but it's the one I use all the time because I think it summarizes it completely. The kid was outside, the children were actually all outside at recess, and they were bouncing balls up against this wall, back and forth, kind of like a handball kind of game, right? Back and forth and back and forth and bouncing it off the wall. And the teacher noticed that at one point during play that the kid noticed their shadow on the wall. Like the play kind of stopped as she then is now playing. Well, the play with the ball stopped because then she started playing with her body motions and the silhouette of her shadow up against this wall. The teacher noticed that she had noticed, and then that turned into an exploration of light, dark, and shadow, et cetera, that was so much more authentic and organic because it was based on something that just occurred versus, you know, this is, we always do light and shadows the third week in August.
Uh-huh.
And that's my story of you have to notice that they notice. You know, if I notice somebody over at the writing area and they've never been over there before, I might have unintentionally put out a provocation, right? Meaning
uh-huh.
that, like, today I just happened to change the kind of paper.
Yeah.
Which might have been haphazard, might have just been like, oh, we're out of paper, this is what we've got. You know, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But something attracted, right? So I guess I'm thinking if you're putting out a provocation with the intention of putting out a provocation, there needs to be intention behind doing it. And I think there's room for realizing that you might have occasionally created a provocation without even realizing that you made a provocation.
Oh, man. Now, what about child?
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
like there's purple paper out today, and oh, my God, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm like, David never goes to the writing area. What the hell? And maybe it was the purple paper. Are you having a thought? What are you doing?
Well, I'm thinking it's time for this episode to be done, but I got two questions, so I don't know if we should do
okay.
another episode or if we should throw
no,
them in
just
here.
Keep it going.
Okay, so one is, what about child-initiated provocations? Do those count as a provocation, or are we only counting them if the teacher does them? I think in a lot of settings, they only get counted if it's teacher-initiated, but there are provocations coming in from the other children all the time that we maybe don't see as that.
I am quite sure that I think people who are kind of in the zone of open to provocations who think they're important, I think they're going to be able, they'll make room for that.
Uh-huh.
A child initiated provocation, maybe an invitation. Is invitation the same as provocation? You know, is it just another way of did we come up with a lingo that actually captures stuff that we've been inherently doing and now somebody made a name for it?
Oh, yeah.
You know what right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, four-year-old Guinevere walking in with a new pair of rain boots could provoke water play that goes on for 3 days out in the out in the play area, and or somebody having a new baby coming in the family provokes 6 weeks of mommy and daddy and baby play in the dramatic play area and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are happening all the time, and I think it all goes back to the fact that our brains crave novelty and are curious, that they want to engage the world, and so it's very natural that interesting things set us off in different and interesting directions. And so I think that's kind of a the whole plopping and provocation ideas. Yeah, they spring off the fact that our minds are wired to attend to those kinds of things. So I think
the idea maybe of it is, not that we're trying to put this concept in a box, because like a lot of things in early childhood, I think it's slippery. And I think that's one of the things that's exciting about our profession, sometimes can be frustrating sometimes, you know, is I think how we respond to it, you know.
Yeah.
How do you respond to, whether it's a provocation that you have intentionally put out on the table, whether it's something you notice that now has had this kind of domino effect, and like your boot thing, you know, that the rain boot turned into water play, is how the adult facilitate it after it gets rolling. You know, do you find yourself open and flexible? Do you find yourself shutting it down?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I had to pick a side of the fence to where my attention might be drawn, it would probably be to that. You know,
yeah.
not in making sure everybody can articulate why they put the pine cone on the table, but how are you responding to whether it's something you've initiated or something that the children have initiated. I think probably that would be the department I would be more curious in talking with people about.
Yeah, yeah. Final question, then we'll wrap this one up, is I noticed that, what are we going to name him? Timon. We're going to name him Timon. Timon, four-year-old Timon, is in the block area, and I noticed he's building a big tower, and he's used up all the long, flat blocks that are so good for tower building. And so so the next time I'm the next morning, I put out another tote full of those long, flat blocks because he was kind of not having – he didn't have enough to build the structure he wanted to build. Is that a provocation, or is that just me putting out more blocks?
I think actually the provocation was the kid running out of blocks and how you again responded to it was to get more blocks. And my input to that particular scenario, not to be a little nitpicky, is that I would have went and found more blocks
right away
while I was building, not the next morning.
Well, I had to be the next morning because I had to go to the shop and make them.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. If you had access, then I would think that the most appropriate response to that, without any, I don't need any clapping, I don't need any noticing, I don't need him to notice that I did that, is I'm going to be super stealth and subtle.
Like a ninja, like a block ninja.
Like I'm a block ninja. I'm just going to kind of put him in your space. So if you need him, awesome. But I'm responding to the provocation to me in that scenario. I feel like we're taking a test. Identify the provocation in scenario A, B, and C. Yeah, circle the provocation that you see in this, and I think that was the provocation.
Ah, see, this is fun. Shall we wrap this one up? We're past half an hour. Hey, I hope you found this episode provocative.
I knew you were going to say that.
And if not, we'll try again next week, and maybe that one will be. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Ooey Louie and Dewey. OoeyGooey.com if you need more Lisa Murphy. ExplorationsEarlyLearning.com if you want some more of me. Tune into this show if you want some more of us. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.